Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a webcast and podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. And I'm your host, Brad Locke, along with Gene Phelps, senior writer for the Journal. Again, webcast and podcast. So if you miss any of this or if you're listening to it, to the podcast version, want to watch it, check out the replay at DJournal.com. If you just want to listen to it, we're available on iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. So it's Wednesday, May the 4th. Gene, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. As you can see, I'm wearing a Daily Journal green.
You are.
Golf shirt, and I believe I wear this about every other podcast. Matches, slipped in a LSU in last week.
Matches nicely with the sign behind us, Gene.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, we've got a lot to get to today, Gene, so we might as well jump into it.
All right.
Let's talk some hoopage. It's May. Let's talk basketball. We finally got our all-area team in the paper this past Sunday.
Yeah. Coming, our baseball and softball all-area teams Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball and softball about done. We finally got the all-area basketball in. Good looking paper. If you didn't see it on Sunday, it's in Sunday's Journal.
All right.
Right there. It is for those of you watching. Good looking package there. Let's run through the team. Now, we did four teams, Gene, five players on each team.
Correct.
So we did first team, second team, third team, fourth team. Looking at the girls' first team, Dallas Young from Boonville. You've got Shania Buford from Lafayette. I want to mess up her name. Jatija. How do you say
that? That's it. Jatija.
Jatija Jones from Pontotoc. Yeah. And Tori Mallory from Itawamba AHS.
And Aaliyah.
And Aaliyah Scherer from Tupelo.
I can never say her name.
So that's the first team. And Gene, just kind of – kind of curious, how hard was it to pick this team? I mean, there's some that are automatic, like a Dallas Young.
I tell you, you probably remember from picking these teams.
Yeah.
Usually the first five or the first nine in baseball, softball, first 11 are usually easy to pick. It's the ones after that are tough. This was actually easy to pick. A Dallas Young, I thought, was hands down player of the year.
And she was,
You know, she switched. She went from shooting guard to point guard. She was by far on one of our better teams in the area all season, helped her team win a state championship. She's a junior and she just had a phenomenal year. She makes that team go. She's one of those girls, and everybody usually has one player they can turn to at the, you know, when it comes down to crunch time. And she's definitely that player for Boonville. And like I said, there are other players and these things are subjective. Everybody, you know, I'm sure if the, Pontotoc coach Bill Russell was picking this team, he may have named his player of the year. I mean, it's just all subjective. I think we've got a really good first team. The Buford girl from Lafayette is just a really phenomenal shooter. She's been good since she was like in the eighth grade in playing. Jones, her brother, Ty Jones, plays basketball also at Pontotoc. She's just she started last season. She's a sophomore. She really can drive that baseline. I think she kind of owns it a lot of times. And she's just a really phenomenal player and has two more years. I'm sure Bill Russell's excited about that. Tori Mallory, I mean, Itawamba AHS has jumped on her back the last two seasons.
Averaged 25 points a game this year.
And she could have easily been our player of the year. I believe she signed with Delta State. You know, that's quite an accomplishment there with that program. And then Aleja Scherer from Tupelo. I mean, this young lady can take you off the dribble and go to the hoop. She can sit back out on the perimeter. Yeah. Anywhere on the perimeter and hit three-pointers too. She's only going to get better. And she was on a talented team too, but she was the most talented of the talented team had. Yeah.
And all these five first-teamers, only one's a senior. The rest are coming back next year.
Right. You know, we had good players on the second team, Claire Golden from TCPS. I mean, just a lot of that was based on just her phenomenal career. She just was always a high scorer. She's really a quality ball player. Mallory Russell from Engomar could have been a first team player. She didn't have the numbers, and it's not a numbers thing.
Right.
But Mallory battled, she's has her knee. She wears a brace from ACL surgery a year or two ago. She had mononucleosis during the season. If anybody knows anything about that,
no fun.
It will zap you of your strength. And she was still a force for that team, and she's got two more seasons to play for Engomar, who won the state championship in girls basketball. And so just good players all around.
And Engomar's coach, Trent Adair, led them to that title. He is the Journal Coach of the Year, former remind me, he was the boys coach at Ripley previously, wasn't he?
No, he was assistant with Harvey Childers.
That's what it was.
He was an assistant with Harvey Childers. Then he got out of coaching for a year or two, I believe. Wound up at Tupelo in administration for a while, and is back at Engomar now and coaching the girls program. And he's got one gold ball. He's got the players to win at least two more.
Yeah, because they got a lot of people coming back, don't they?
Yeah, and, you know, this was their first season to play in 2A. They moved up, and that was a concern. It's what I wrote about in this story. He was really concerned. He said, you know, I don't know what – I'm going into the unknown in 2A. And he talked about HW Byers, but they were down this year and weren't your typical HW Byers team. But he didn't really know about how strong teams were in 2A because he wasn't familiar with a lot of them. So he was thinking, golly, I've got this great team and I think I can make a run with in 1A and win it.
Yeah.
And but anyway, he made it through. They came back, won a spectacular championship game, came back from way down point-wise and won. And I don't know about told Trent about this or not. I saw Bogachita play, the team that won 1A. They were pretty good. I don't know if Engomar had just as tough a road to go against those guys. So anyway, be thankful you got you a gold ball, but they certainly had the potential to win another one. And if they move back down to 1A, which will likely happen on the next realignment this October, then they'll be down in 1A and they'll be a force there.
Yeah. And that would affect, that would be for the 2017-18 season.
Correct.
If they move down. Right. Okay. Let's look at the boys team real quick. Gene.
Wow. That was easy.
Yeah. That looks like a pretty easy team. In fact, I'm not as knowledgeable about these guys as you, but this is probably the five guys I would have picked. Antares Gwynn of Corinth, also the player of the year. Madarius Hobson of Holka, we all know about him. Trey Jenkins of Tupelo. Jarkel Joyner of Oxford. And Felix Hayes of Baldwin. Double-double machine there.
Easiest top five I've ever had to pick.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was easy. I don't think anybody can argue with that top five.
I don't think any.
I thought the boys was the toughest to go in. And we tinkered back and forth on picking 15 players and 20. We catch flack no matter how many we pick. I've had some coaches tell me, and as recently as the last couple months, they would rather see us pick like 10 players. They would rather the journals team be more exclusive and leave some people out.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of making it exclusive, because you see like some of these ridiculous like all SEC basketball teams. First team, 8 players. That doesn't make sense. Second team, 8 or 10 players. Okay. I like the way we do it here. Five on the first team, because that's how many go on the court.
Well, you're looking, you know, some of the coaches will argue, well, you ought to honor more kids. Well, that's why you pick all division teams.
Yes. This is all area.
And I would think that by next year, I'm going to have this system revised and we will go down to a minimal number of players and try to make it the best. Probably go down to 2 teams in basketball.
Okay.
Maybe. I like the 22 in football.
Yeah.
Even, too. You know, pick 11 defensive, 11 offensive.
Yeah, me too.
And I like, you know, I'd say 9 or 10 in baseball and softball.
Yeah, you make a good argument for that. Yeah. And because, I mean, let's be honest, these are all good players, but once you get past the second team, it's hard to really kind of, you're kind of splitting hairs at that point.
And I left a player out from Oxford that I had on the team at one time, and the coach called me on it, with an email, and he should have, but it was just, I had, you know, you got about 25, 26 players to choose from, and you could just intermix the players. But if I had it down to 10, it wouldn't have been tough at all.
Yeah. I mean, look at the second team, CJ Brim of Shannon, Ladavius Drain of Calhoun City, Ty Jones of Pontotoc, Connor McKay of Baldwin, who I believe, wasn't he player of the year as a sophomore?
He was, and I believe, you know, some people might question that. You cannot go on his last game. He was like 1 for 17 from the field in his last high school game. It's what Connor McKay did as a body of work. He was the point guard. He made sure other people got their shots.
Yeah.
He made sure Felix Hayes got the ball.
Right.
You know, he was probably the consummate team player this year. And he still had some big numbers scoring. He just didn't in his last game in a state tournament on the big stage.
Right. Jason Smith also from Saltillo made second team. Yeah. And player of the year and coach of the year, both coming from the same school. And Terrace Gwynn, as we mentioned, and Coach Keith Green, both of Corinth. Leading them to the Class 4A state title, Gene.
And happy for Coach Green. Yeah. He's been our coach of the year before, but he had been there but never won. That was kind of a knock on him, not from us. I mean, this guy can coach.
Oh,
8
no doubt.
Years of 20-plus wins.
Pretty good.
Yeah, impressive. Now he's got that gold ball. He can just keep right on coaching. I don't think Keith's looking to leave. I think they might name the GM after him one day.
You got a good thing going there.
and Terrace Gwynn, what a phenomenal athlete. He's going to Northwest. He was a quarterback in DB at Corinth in football. He'll play DB at Northwest in community college. Okay. And his play in the state tournament in this season had the Northwest basketball coach on the phone with him going, hey, we'd like you to come out for basketball. We'll hold you a spot. So he's going to try to do both.
Hey, well, heck of an athlete. He averaged 18.4 points, 12.5 rebounds, 3.1 steals, 2.6 assists, 23 double-doubles.
Impressive.
Yeah, and led Corinth to, 29-2 record?
Yeah.
And the state title. And Keith Green, coach of the year. So, I mean, and you look at this first team who's coming back. Gwynn's a senior, so he's gone. Trey Jenkins is a senior, so he's gone. But you've still got Felix Hayes. He's a junior, so he's got another year. Jarquel Joyner's got another year. Madarius Hobson has two more years. There's a guy that you look at could very well be a player of the year next year or the year after or both. He's got that kind of talent.
A lot of these guys could have been player of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we considered Trey Jenkins, and Trey averaged like 15 a game, but he was really a factor in that Tupelo team that had a solid, balanced lineup and attack.
Yeah. Some people would say they overachieved, and he was a big reason for that.
Yeah, Felix Hayes. Felix just had a dominating season for Baldwin, and Baldwin's good every year.
Yeah.
And Baldwin had some good players this year, obviously, with Connor McKay.
Yeah.
And Felix. But Felix had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
And for the Bearcats.
And then Hobson dropping 28 points a game. Big numbers.
Oh, yeah. And of course,
Joyner 26 points a game.
Yeah, and of course, everybody knows by now that he's the cousin of Robert Woodard from
Hobson is, yes.
Yeah, Hobson is the cousin of Robert Woodard from Columbus.
He's a big-time recruit.
Yes.
Recently signed with Mississippi State, didn't he?
No, he's got two more years.
He's got two more years. I'm thinking someone else.
Yeah.
But they're his dad.
Yeah. His dad played at Mississippi State.
That's
Robert Woodard.
That's the connection.
It was a sixth man. Back in the early 90s for those Richard Williams teams and a really good player. He even had an award named after him at Mississippi State for a while.
Woodard still got 2 years left?
Yes, he does. Yeah, and we want to make that clear. He has not signed with Mississippi State or committed.
I was thinking of somebody else because MSU's gotten a lot of blue-chip recruits lately. And they might get him. You never know. Might get Hobson. Just imagine that. Two more years for both of those guys. And Woodard just outside of our coverage area, by the way.
Just outside.
We have covered him on occasion because they play area teams, and so you've seen him, and he's as good as anybody.
Correct. And they're nice kids, and I've met Madarius's mom, who's Robert Woodard's, the player's aunt and the sister of Robert Woodard, the dad. And they're just all fine folks, good parents, good kids, good ball players.
Well, anyway, you can find this all area coverage in Sunday's Journal. Find the stories about the coaches and players of the year there, as well as djournal.com. Let's move on to some postseason updates, baseball, softball, and whatnot. Start with baseball, Gene. Tupelo has moved on. They defeated Starkville to sweep that series. I think 14-1 was the final on Tuesday.
Right.
No surprise there, I don't guess. Tupelo's got a good
squad. I'm kind of leaning to seeing Tupelo maybe slipping into the championship series down at Pearl. I don't put it past them.
Could happen.
They're really on a roll right now, and they play Northwest Rankin this weekend. They've moved their series to I believe, Friday, Saturday, Monday. A lot of schools, supposedly the high school activities, had the baseball playing Thursday, Friday, Monday. Something about the fact that the state track meet was going on Saturday. Well, it's going on Friday, too. So I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know what the thinking was there. Tupelo will play at home Friday, first game of game one of the series. I guess it's state quarterfinals now. Yeah. Against Northwest Rankin. They will play at Northwest Rankin Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then game three would be in Tupelo if needed.
Okay.
And,
okay.
So that's it for 6A.
Ingemar, they had to play at ICC and beat Mantachie.
No, Strayhorn.
Strayhorn.
What yeah.
Mantachie.
I don't know. Mantachie's still
got Mantachie on the brain.
Softball.
I don't know why I got Mantachie on the brain. Ingemar defeated Strayhorn, excuse me.
Yeah, Ingemar plays ICC. Calhoun City. That'll be a good series.
Yeah.
That starts tomorrow, 7 o'clock at Ingemar.
Okay.
I've got the times and stuff. You'd like me to run through it real quick for you, baseball.
Sure.
All right, in 1A, you got Pine Grove at Tupelo Christian play at 6. That is going to be a dandy
this
series.
This is Thursday. Okay.
I'm looking for 3 games in that one.
Yeah.
West Union at Smithville will be a good series. Plays at Smithville Thursday, 7 o'clock. 2A, East Webster at East Union, 6 o'clock. Another great series. 2A, Calhoun City and Ingemar, 7 o'clock.
Mm.
That's going to be a good series. I mean, I don't have enough people to go to all these games. Class 3A, Nettleton at Morville Baseball,
yeah,
7 o'clock. 3A, baseball, Kossuth. Alcorn Central haven't got a
division
where
rivals,
they're playing
they?
Yet. Yes, I don't have where they're playing yet.
Right, right.
We'll have to get that lined up. You've got 4A, Ripley at Amory, 7 o'clock. You got Corinth versus Houston.
Yeah, 4A.
Good series.
4A Corinth, is loaded around here. With
yeah, Houston's, Houston's has been kind of dominating. It'll be interesting to see how that series goes.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Oxford and Center Hill are going to a game 3.
They are, and that's going to be tonight, playing that tonight, a Wednesday game, I think. At,
Center Hill defeated Oxford last night,
right.
An upset of sorts. Anytime Oxford's beat, it's an upset.
Yeah, Oxford trying to defend its state crown from last year, so they'll play tonight in Oxford.
All those other series, with the exception of Tupelo that I know of, maybe Oxford might be different if they make it. And survive and play. Will be game twos will be Friday, opposite of where we said they're playing, and the game times are still about the same.
Right.
Okay. Most of them have kept the same game times, 6 or 7 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. Softball, real quick. We had a story in today's paper. East Webster defeating East Union to go up 1-0 in that Class 2A series. That's a game you were at, wasn't it, Gene?
It was. East Webster's dominating. They're 23-0. They've got Bailey Springfield, who was the point guard on that state championship team in basketball last year, is the pitcher. They are three-time defending state champions in Class 2A. Bailey has been the pitcher for the last 3 years for them. I watched her pitch last night. She had 11 strikeouts. She had some problems, she said, with the mound being a little slippery, the gravel on the mound or whatever they use.
Right, right.
Or she may have struck out 12 or 13. I mean, she's just a very powerful pitcher. And East Union has hit better than that before. And when they did hit her, they knocked the cover off the ball.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the problem is sometimes you can't hit what you can't see. And and she was bringing it.
Yeah.
So, that series goes down to East Webster today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Most of those series will finish today. You got Hamilton playing at Vardaman in 2A. In 1A, you got Hamilton playing at Vardaman, and West Union plays at Smithville. In 2A, of course, we talked about East Webster, East Union. You've got Winona at Mantachie. Mantachie's in a hole. Lost that first game like 10-3 at Winona. They got a chance to sweep two today. They'll play 2 games today if it goes 3. North Pontiac plays at Nettleton. That's a 1-game deal. They played a doubleheader yesterday and split. In 4A, you got Houston at Kosciuszko. That's the only game we're concerned about. And we don't have any other teams in 5 and 6A. So.
Okay. Golf, real quick. State titles brought home yesterday by a couple of area squads, Nettleton.
Yeah. Girls
and
golf.
New Albany. Yeah. Girls golf.
Girls golf is in 3 classes. 1A for the, one class, Roman numeral 1.
Right, right.
For the small schools, class 2 for the middle size schools, and class 3 is more for your 5 and 6A programs. Nettleton won its first ever class 1 golf championship, Riley Mayhew, an eighth grader from Nettleton. Her father, Mike Mayhew, a former T-Rex hockey player, is one of their co-coaches. And that was Riley's second time to be medalist.
She's only in eighth grade.
She's an eighth grader. So congratulations to Nettleton and Riley Mayhew. And there was one other girl on the team. I hate to call her one other girl, but I won't go ruffling through the papers. But she was a girl that just started playing 6 months ago. And so it was a two-person team. How they do in the smaller classes, okay. Two people. Hey, not to be outdone, New Albany goes down, wins their first girls state championship after finishing second place for years, as I believe John Pitts wrote about today. Lucy Martin, junior, won medalist for New Albany, and New Albany won class two.
And she made a hole-in-one.
How about that?
First career hole-in-one. That helps. So, yeah, congrats to New Albany and Nettleton girls golf there, winning state titles. Real quick in tennis, Tupelo losing to Madison Central in the North
Final. I think
it
came down
to
like the last.
It went down to the wire,
Yeah, last game of a set. And so Tupelo hung right in there. That's the team tennis now. Tupelo has all their courts qualified to play in the state tournament next week. Okay. At Parham Bridges in Jackson. That means like boys singles, girls singles, mixed doubles. So they will play for championships in those particular events. Okay. And I don't want to forget, state boys golf is going on today and Thursday. Tupelo Christian Prep is hosting 1A out at Big Oaks today. I'll be there eventually. I've got a couple of things I've got to do before I get there. Yeah. That'll be today and tomorrow. Tupelo is playing down at Madison. They're going to be in the hunt. They'll be in the hunt. And Oxford is also playing at Madison. We've got somebody covering that for us down there. In 5A, and Oxford won North Half by like 26 strokes. And so I think they've got a shot to be in the hunt in 5A. And we'll be keeping up with all the other golf too.
Okay, good deal. Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We feature a couple of athletes, a male and a female, who've done particularly well in their particular sport over the past week. So, Gene, let's start with female athlete of the week.
We've already mentioned them, Riley Mayhew and Lucy Martin. Golfers.
Athletes of the Week.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? They're state champions. They're medalists. Led their teams to state titles. They're both athletes of the week.
There you go. Male athlete, Gene.
I like Brock Lindley. He's a pitcher from Pine Grove. The other night against Hamilton, the guy goes out and he pitches 9 innings.
Yeah, went extra innings.
And the guy just throws hard. I called him a bulldog. The coach agreed. I mean, he gritty, struck out 7, scattered 6 hits over 9 innings, and just threw strikes. And he contributed to his team's win by just being steady on the mound.
Yeah.
So Brock Lindley.
Brock Lindley. All right. Congrats to Brock and to Riley Mayhew and to Lucy Martin, athletes of the week here on Prep Rally. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And again, it's a webcast and a podcast. We come to you live every Wednesday morning around 11:15 here at djournal.com. You can also listen to the podcast version. You can listen for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at the Journal Preps. Gene's on Twitter at Gene Phelps. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Also, be sure to check out our other podcast here at the Journal. We've got a new episode of Double Coverage coming Thursday. That's Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry. Listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. And The Memo, our news and entertainment podcast, 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, myself and W. Derek Russell. New episode today. Derek's out, so Emma Kent steps in to co-host with me. Listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or memo.djournal.com. That's it, Gene. We'll be back next week. Plenty more to talk about as the playoffs roll on. Thank you all for tuning in.